The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Should be an action-packed hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman joined by 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, and we have a host of guests that will be joining us throughout the hour here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, including Jay Hilgenberg, perhaps a future Hall of Famer at the center position, and will also be joined by Anthony Adams, the man they call Spice, coming up a little bit later on the show as well. Tom, the competition committee is meeting out in Arizona, and to me, it's a big deal because what we learned today is that the competition committee opposes expanded replay. And with the technology that we have today, Tom, it seems to me as though that might be a mistake, because you can see everything if you put the cameras in the right spots.
Yeah, but Zach, it doesn't mean you're going to get it right. I think we have examples of that late in the playoffs last year when there wanted to be some penalties called, maybe in the Detroit-Dallas game, that affected the outcome of the game. So even though you have better technology and you have an immediate response to the infraction, it doesn't mean you're always going to, that every individual is going to think about the rule the same way. So I just, I think the officials, they do a good job. They have a hard job. But if you are going to try to insert technology into the infraction portion of football, you got to get it right. And I just don't think there is a guarantee every call is going to be gotten right according to which team you cheer for.
Are you in favor of expanded replay for personal foul penalties?
Oh, again, you know, it's gonna. I mean, who's gonna make the final determination if it is a personal foul or not? You know, is it gonna be the on-site official? Is it gonna be a third party up in the booth? I think those are the questions that are gonna be answered, because sometimes you get the officials that are caught up in the emotion of the moment, reacting a little bit different, that sees it as a third party. So, you know, these rules and the owners' meetings, and they go over all these things. I think there's more language that goes along with the concept of just trying to change a rule or two.
The reason that I was asking, Tom, is because how many times have we heard you during a game make that sound when it appears as though there was a football play that took place on the field, but the official, because they are instructed to err on the side of caution, will throw the flag? And I think sometimes a hit that might look devastating is a clean hit. It just looks bad.
You know, my examples of that so far is I've seen it in college, and I've seen the player thrown out on the field and then the reverse of the decision made from upstairs. And I did like that part of it, because if the officials are reacting to what they think is an infraction that could, you know, change a player on the field or not, you know, maybe you need that decision made correctly by, you know, an outside observer. I've seen it a couple times in college where it's both frustrated me and I've agreed with it. So, you know, it's I don't know, just something that you wish that you were in the meetings to put thought in and to listen to the debate of the pros and cons of how they're trying to make the decisions.
Steelers president Art Rooney II, Tom, who's one of the most respected people in the National Football League, has said, quote, "I think the instant replay system is working fine. Sure, it would be nice to have different and more plays reviewed, but you have to do that in the context of how many you can really fit into a game and not wind up with a four-hour game."
Agree. I agree. Again, like I said, I think the officials do a really good job, and they are involved in the emotion of the game. If you do have that infraction that is game deciding, that you need a more equal third party decider, that maybe that's the way you go about it. But again, there's so many. I don't think you want to have too many watchful eyes over the officials again. But again, if it comes down to a playoff, Super Bowl, or something like that, They do have the technology to get it right.
And Rooney also says that he is against making the extra point harder. You might recall that the Patriots have talked about making life a little bit more difficult when it comes to the point after touchdown, and perhaps extending it back, making it more difficult to get that extra point. You're an old-school football guy. You probably want to see it the same way it's always been.
Yeah, I'm a traditionalist. I'd like to see it the same way it is. The only change I would make, if they wanted to make a change, I would narrow the goalposts rather than, you know, try to get the kickers more accurate than, you know, stronger. And if you want to challenge their leg strength every time, move it beyond that 30-yard line and beyond, and that's when you will challenge the strength. But, you know, kicking is usually about accuracy.
We are moments away from talking with your former teammate on the 85 Bears, the talented center Jay Hilgenberg. But before we get to Jay, the Bears have proposed having both teams get possession in overtime before a game is decided. But Commissioner Roger Goodell today telling Peter King that he likes the overtime the way it is. What are your thoughts?
Well, if the first team gets possession and they score a field goal, the second team gets an opportunity to score a touchdown, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I like that way because you are both guaranteed you're going to get a possession. You know, how many more changes can they make, you know, with that? Does it put more pressure on the team that gets the ball first to go for it on fourth down if they feel the other opponent is strong enough to get a touchdown? So, I don't know. I'm kind of with what they're going through right now.
Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score rolls on. Zach Zabin alongside Tom Thayer. And we've got your former teammate on the 85 Bears, Jay Hilgenberg, the longtime center, joining us here on Bears All Access. Jay, I was watching the Veterans Scouting Combine yesterday, and I thought to myself, you might be one of the few guys that did not participate in that event.
Yeah, I missed it too, so I have no problem missing that. So how are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good. You know, Zach, when we are talking about the veteran minicamp, you know, it's interesting to see what stage that some of these guys are in. Do they have enough body of work on film that you're really going to be able to evaluate them from that? Or is something like 225 bench press or the 40-yard dash, is that obsolete when you're talking about a guy that played anywhere from 2 to 4 years, or you have Michael Sam who has not played yet, but maybe the 40 is important to him if he's going to make a position change.
Right. I'm sure that combine was important for a few of those guys, but, you know, when we spoke to a few months back, I remember we did the show on a Sunday afternoon. I was really against this because I thought it'd be it's tough for those guys to go out there. It's just not a lot of dignity to these older vets still trying to make a team, and I think listening to some of the stuff, I think a lot of people had a lot of fun watching these slow 40 times and seeing what these guys had yet. So it bothers me to the point where I wish teams, why help these teams go out and gather these guys? Let the individual teams go out and find the talent by themselves.
Visiting with Jay Hilgenberg here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Boy, it certainly seemed like a made-for-TV event, which is the reason that they probably had this. But the reality is that, you know, there still are drills that they use, not just for these veterans, but also for the rookies that are trying to get the prospective draftees. The thing that I look at, what do you learn at this stage, when you put a veteran through the 40 time, is that really indicative of what that player is going to have to do in a real game? You guys have been through it. Jay, you experienced this your entire NFL career. Should we put as much stock in the numbers that these teams do?
Shoot. You know, Zach, I was never invited to the combine coming out of college, and if I would have been, I never would have been even invited to a free agent camp by the Chicago Bears because my numbers testing me like that were just awful coming out. So and luckily enough, with having Mike Ditka as a football coach, we didn't have a lot of preseason testing like that. All he cared about is if you could play football, and that's I always enjoyed that. I know once Clyde Emmerich left the team, the strength coach that they had came in, then it was all the testing and the running before training camp, and I think what happens, you almost end up training for those drills and actual, you know, getting ready to play football.
You know, I'm in agreement with that, but, you know, sometimes when you get these older veterans and you get a guy that maybe has been around the league for 2 or 4 years and he comes into a veteran camp and he has an explosive day, it creates an opportunity. And what you're really doing is you're getting a judgment on his honest desire to be back on an NFL field, because you can never really casually go through an NFL offseason with the intent in getting through the season healthy. And I did see the Arizona Cardinals did sign one of the guys that was at the Veteran Combine, and there's a guy that's made it. What a great opportunity he's, you know, presented for himself to get back on the training camp field for OTAs and the in training camp and everything. But I do think it's always a judgment of your off-season work. You know, when you come back and you start testing these older veterans that have a snippet of the NFL, because they know the importance of being ready, being in shape, when either your combine call comes or an opportunity to sign with the team.
I think another big thing is for some of these players, it probably gave them closure. You know, they thought they probably had something left, and you see when you stack yourself up against some of the other guys, maybe it's time to say goodbye to the game. When we come back, since we have both you, Tom, and Jay, want to get Jay's take as the center of the offense. If you're rebuilding the Bears' defense from a center's perspective, what gives you the most trouble? And are those the areas that the Bears have to look at going forward to rebuilding things and getting that defense back to where it needs to be? That's next with Jay Hilgenberg and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears present Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. And Anthony Adams, AA Spice, will be joining us a little bit later on the show. But we are lucky enough, alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin, to be joined by Tom's former 85 Bear teammate, Jay Hilgenberg, here on Bears All Access. And, you know, Jay, one of the things that I think is really interesting, this is a unique time for the Bears because there's a huge transition taking place with the new regime. You have John Fox as the head coach. Vic Fangio is now the defensive coordinator. The Bears, for the first time in team history, going to a 3-4 defense. And when you think 3-4, you usually think about that big, stout nose tackle in the middle. But from your perspective as a center, what's the most difficult challenge that you have when taking a 3-4? So if you were building a defense, from your perspective, what's the most challenging aspect in terms of trying to stop?
You know, if you have a 3-4, the nose tackle in there that is a pass rush also, that I think that's the area that's the most concerning. A lot of the run blocking, you know, you're going to have your guards right there next to you to help you with, like, a combined block up to the inside linebacker. Another thing, if those linebackers start crowding the offensive line, the center is going to be on himself one-on-one with the nose guard on run blocking then a lot also. But I think if you can get a guy, a nose guard, that can run and has an inside pass rush, it can be a pretty powerful thing for the defense. I'm sure that's what Vic Fangio is and the Bears are going to be looking for, is that inside presence that will make plays during the game and someone that you have to account for during games.
You know, Jay, I'm going to test some of the historians of football, because when you go back and you look at your career and you think of guys like Derlin Moore, Doug English, a couple of great nose guards but built a little bit differently. Then you look at guys that you've come to notice like a Ted Washington or a Vince Wilfork. You know, you get those bigger nose guys, if you make them take the longest route, sometimes that's quick enough to beat them. But what do you think? Do you have to control that first level, or do you have to be quick enough to get to the second level if you have the guys, you know, that run well, or even or sometimes the guys that don't run so well?
Right. You know, Tom, our whole career, you know, Dick Stanfield, Zach, we had a great offensive line coach, Dick Stanfield. You first talked to him about at length about how great Dick was, and he talked to us constantly about getting that push, getting that line of scrimmage. You got to push that line of scrimmage a yard upfield, because that allows the running back to get the move to cut back. And it's just you gotta kind of scout and understand the situations of games with nose guards is to get the maximum movement. You know, is the nose guard going to be a penetrator, or is he predetermined stunts? Is he going to read your head? If he reads your face and he's trying to two-gap you, you know, jam you and read to where the ball's going. That's where you can really get a lot of movement with nose guards. And I think that's something that we worked on a lot when we play, is to get the big guys moving, and just to get a little hand or a push from a guard next to you, it works wonders.
Jay, it's interesting because we keep hearing edge rusher, because the name of the game is to be able to sack the quarterback. But the way teams run offenses now, that quarterback's getting rid of the ball before you can even hit him. And to me, that's why affecting things at the line of scrimmage so crucial in the game. Do you value the edge rusher, especially in a 3-4, meaning an outside linebacker that can get after the quarterback, more than, say, that player that you talked about, that stout player in the middle, that defensive tackle?
Well, yeah, it all ties together. It really does. If you have that guy on the outside that can really bring the rush, teams, then you can put the offensive line in a little disadvantage where they may have to block the outside linebackers, a down lineman. So you got your five offensive linemen blocking the down lineman plus the linebackers, which what happens is it leaves the center one-on-one to that inside vulnerable pass rush. So, you know, you have the best of everything. You have the great pass rushers across the board. But what I've been surprised that the NFL doesn't start getting back to is that 46 defense, because I think that's a defense where you can really stress the inside of an offense, because you have both guards covered, and then you got the center, you know, possibly one-on-one with a great pass rusher like Dan Hampton and Reggie White made famous.
You know, Jay, there are similarities to great edge rushers or a 46 defense, because when you have a great edge rusher and you're determined to slide in his direction, you're gonna make the backside offensive tackle or the center susceptible, because they're going to be caught in a one-on-one. And when you talk about, you know, I do believe that Vic Fangio will take a 34 defense and morph it into a 46-looking style. So when you take that nose guard and you have him on the center, and then he's got to snap the ball first, get in position while both offensive guards are completely occupied by their old man, you have no help in the middle, and it's a direct route to the quarterback. And so that's going to be interesting to see in this new Chicago Bear defense if they do start morphing and using that old Bear 46 a little more.
Because the most important thing, guys, is taking advantage of the personnel you actually have. You're not going to be able to replace everybody during one offseason. So when you look, Tom, at what the Bears have defensively right now, obviously they invested a lot in Pernell McPhee to start free agency out and get that 3-4 edge rusher, but a guy that you can line up in a variety of different places to create some confusion. What don't they have that you have to circle and say they absolutely need this in order to attempt to run what Vic Fangio wants to run?
You know, I would like somebody with strength. You know, to me, Vic Fangio, if I look at his latest body of work and I look at the two interior linebackers of San Francisco, it's hard to get better than that. But then you go to the line of scrimmage and you got to have the play out of an experienced veteran like Justin Smith. He's not playing over the nose, he's not playing over the center, and he's not a great edge rusher. But he's so determined against the offensive guard that he wins a lot of interior battles, and that can set the tone. I think that body is still out there that needs to be identified. Is it, you know, everybody talks about Danny Shelton, the heaviest guy in the draft, 340-plus, to be that centerpiece so you can, you know, have the other pieces fit in around him. To me, but, you know, in his past, you have Jeremiah Ratliff, who's played on the nose too, and he's a really unique player, completely different than what Shelton would offer you out of college. There's more length and more athleticism to him. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they formulate their first defensive line, and then, you know, your linebackers are going to be able to fit into place after that.
Tom Thayer is with us. Jay Hilgenberg is here as well. Go ahead, Jay.
No, I'm sorry. I think you guys hit it on the head, how Vic, you know, he'll adjust to his talent. And you know, Tom mentioned the linebackers he had inside at the 49ers. When I was at New Orleans, Vic was the linebacker coach, and, you know, he had the top line, maybe the top best 3-4 defense with linebackers in the history of the league he had down in New Orleans.
Hey, before we take the break here, we're going to play Ask Tom in our next segment, 312-644-6767. Rapid-fire phone calls from you for Tom Thayer. We go 10 minutes at the end of the segment. Judge Jay Hilgenberg, will pick a winner, and the best caller of the segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. But you guys both are offensive linemen. That's your forte. And seems like every single week that we do the show, someone calls up and asks Tom, What about Kyle Long? Is it time to move him from guard to tackle? Jay, you are a master on the interior of the line. Do you think the Bears should keep Kyle Long, a two-time Pro Bowler, at right guard, exactly where he is, or would you like to see him move outside?
Oh, I think he should stay right where he's at. I think Kyle has done a tremendous job coming into the NFL with really not playing much football at all. And, you know, to a guy that guys that have watched offensive linemen play he's been a work. He's had a work at the technique and to find the technique. His body wasn't naturally out there to learn the proper fundamentals of football. He's had to go out there in games, you know, under intense competition and learn to play the game. And he really reminds me of a guy like Mark Bortz that came to the NFL. Mark was a defensive lineman and came in and moved him to guard and just did an outstanding job and had to really learn how to play offensive line. And Mark did a great job at guard, and I think would have been crazy ever to move him. So I think Kyle, right where he's at there at right guard, you know, he can play for another 10 years easy. It'd be great to keep him as a Chicago Bear the whole time.
Tom, did you notice he did not compare him to the right guard on the 85 Bears?
Well, you know, Jay's a little spoiled. He's had solid right guards around him his whole career, and he knows another one, even though his number is 75 and not 57.
I like it. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Rapid-fire questions for you, for Tom Thayer, and the winner, best caller of the segment, gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of the man we like to call Hilgi, Jay Hilgenberg. Bears All Access rolls on right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are pleased to be joined by 85 Bear Jay Hilgenberg on the show, and he'll be Judge Jay here in this one because it's time to play Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We go rapid fire for the segment. Your phone calls, anything in the world of football is fair game for Tom Thayer. Tom will try to answer the questions as best he can. And while Jay Hilgenberg's got the legal pad and the Sharpie and he's writing notes on each caller, and at the end of the segment, we're going to ask Jay, who's the best caller of the segment? Jay will tell us, and that guy or girl will win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. You guys ready for this?
Ready.
All right, let's begin the festivities. We will start with DeMar in Logan Square. DeMar, ask Tom.
Hey, DeMar.
Hey, my question was about Jared Allen. He was a big name free agent from last year, but he has no experience at outside linebacker. And he's eating up a lot of the cap. What are the perspectives of him playing outside linebacker? Or are we going to end up moving the guy?
You know, that's a great question, DeMar, because I don't think a player of Jared's pass-rushing expertise from a four-man line has ever been challenged this late in his career to become a stand-up linebacker, change his instincts, and not be involved as a pass rusher as much as you like. And I think that's going to be one of the most interesting experiments to pay attention to in the start of camp. But I also think that Vic Fangio is a very creative mind where maybe he can see Jared in the most positive position possible for his talents. But I think that's all going to come out in the OTAs and the initial developments of the defense to see how some of these older guys do fit in.
You know, you bring up a great point, because when you look at Willie Young, certain players that have not really played in a 3-4, does that mean that Fox and Fangio might at times run a 4-3, even though the base defense is going to be a 3-4?
Well, the way the defense can morph and slide into like a four-man type of look, and we see it a lot from San Francisco with the use of his bigger defensive linemen. So, yeah, you're going to see a lot of changes within the front 7, 8, 9 personnel groupings, depending upon down and distance and the opponent they're playing. So you're never going to see just a vanilla 3-4 stand there, block me type defense. You're going to try to use the athleticism of all these guys in their particular ways, from Jonathan Bost to Shea McClellan to the older guys like Willie Young and Jared Allen.
312-644-6767 is the phone number for this Ask Tom segment. At stake, a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Southwest Side, Paul, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good, good.
My question is, in their heart of hearts, do the Bears management, you know, general manager, coaches, really have a feeling about Cutler? Like, are they possibly saying, okay, we'll be with him for 1 year, and that's about the most we're going to expect? Or are they really going to give him a real chance to continue on many years?
I think they do have to give him a realistic chance. First of all, their only evaluation outside of talking to Jay face-to-face is about his performance on the field. And every one of these coaches over with a fine-tooth comb will go and evaluate every one of his games in Chicago. And they're going to look at his strengths, and they're going to look at what his weaknesses are perceived to be. And then they're going to try to capitalize on the positive aspects of the quarterback, Jay Cutler, because that's the way you have to go about it. But I think it takes a whole different step when you get into classrooms. You start learning how well Jay Cutler filters the information out of his mouth into the eyes and the ears of his players. And there's a lot of things that will determine the success of a quarterback. But it's ultimately about performance, protecting your football, and making sure your offense is running in a positive direction. And I think there's a lot of yet unseen understanding of Jay that the coaches will learn as their, you know, the times they get together.
A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line. Dan in Schaumburg.
Hey, Dan.
Tom.
Hey, Tom. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, Joe, I just wanted to ask you, so one, you guys are talking about Kyle Long and linemen of the NFL, current NFL. What would you say is the one big thing that the difference between when you played versus the linemen that played today? You know, whether it's blocking different teams, you know, like, what, can you elaborate on, like, how things have changed since you played?
Well, you know, I think the difference is there's probably a lot less audibling at the line of scrimmage. I think when we were a run dominant team, when we went to the line of scrimmage, we didn't feel that there was a defense they could put up against us that we couldn't run the ball effectively or efficiently to set up the next play. And nowadays, we had more of an attack style. Use the snap count as a weapon. Burst off the line of scrimmage and push people backwards. Now there's more of a zone concept to it, where they try to let the defensive lineman get in an initial movement, then try to interrupt their direction or try to push him out of the way of where the play's going to go, and then the play has a backside where it can go to if the front side doesn't get blocked efficiently. I don't always believe in it, because I think, as Jay mentioned before, with all our offensive line coach Dick Stanfeld, it was an exact science to how we blocked the play. There was never a zone aspect to it. It was always as a specific design of an impact position, and then after we get Walter Payton 2.5 yards, he creates on his own.
312-644-6767, the phone number. Ask Tom is the segment. Brendan in Lincoln Park, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good.
My question is if you could just talk a little bit about the different body type and the technique as opposed to the fly technique as opposed to the traditional 4-3 defensive end.
You know, nowadays you see the 4-3 defensive ends that have a little bit of bulk and a little bit of size to them. If you look at the defensive line that they're up in Buffalo and stuff, you will have size. You know, when we played against a 3-4 during our career, they would have some thickness and strength at the nose guard, and then they would have a lengthier pass-rushing defensive end. And, you know, that's why when you saw guys like, you know, Richard Dent or Dan Hampton, they were capable of playing anywhere in any defense because they have that length associated to them. But now there's more changing at the line of scrimmage. So you have so many different personnel groupings that you don't have the same 3 to 4 defensive linemen playing the whole game. You have a package of 8 defensive linemen that come in and are structured into different packages. It's just that there's such a variety on the front now trying to take advantage of offensive thinking and you know, just trying to be in so many positions to try to, you know, get the best matchup you can defensively.
2 more contestants on Ask Tom. A gift certificate to Sports Authority awaits the winner. We go to Northbrook. Joe, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my question. So let's assume that everything goes perfectly well with the draft and everything goes perfectly well with all the offseason moves and perfectly well with Jay Cutler. What do you think is a realistic goal of the Bears' record this year? What do you think they really can accomplish?
Oh, you know, to me, I'm not, you know, Joe, is Aaron Rodgers still in Green Bay? then I do have concerns, because I'm a big believer, while Aaron Rodgers is up there in Green Bay and they've been doing the personnel job they've been doing, it's still the best team in the division, and that's the one guy and the one team that you're going to have to overcome. And I hate to say it, and it seems like we repeat it a couple times a year, Zach, but as long as Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay, you have to respect them as the top opponent in the division.
They have beaten the Packers twice since 2009. That is a record that needs to get much, much better. Final contestant on Ask Tom, Bud in Wheaton. You are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Bud. Hey, how are you? Hey, if we don't have the personnel for this, if Willie Young's is not the right guy, if Jared Allen's going to have to make all these changes, if we don't have the defensive tackles that are the right defensive tackles, why are we doing it? Why are we going from a 4-3 to a 3-4?
Because that's what Vic Fangio's expertise in, and I think Ed Donatell, the backfield coach, is also really well-versed in this. Eventually, every team, no matter what system they try to morph to, if you're Chip Kelly trying to change the offense in Philly or the Bears trying to change a historically 4-3 defensive organization here, you still need to get your right personnel. You still need to try to get pieces in the right place. You know, we don't know, because we may see Shea McClellan turn into a one heck of an inside or outside linebacker that he didn't flourish in the 4-3 defense. So I do think it's going to be interesting to see if Jonathan Bostic can use his speed and his desire to hit on the inside to be a solid interior linebacker. But again, it's going to take an evaluation, and you're still going to be probably a season free agency or maybe another draft away from getting the complete package of 3-4 defensive style athletes you need here to contend with.
And it's not as though the previous defense with the previous personnel was working. I mean, keep in mind, over the last 2 years, the Bears have allowed nearly 30 points per game. That's something that has to change big time. Jay, this was your first time listening as a judge here on Ask Tom. Who's the winner?
Well, you put some pressure on me coming on your show, guys. I think it's the first caller that we had. Demar, was that how you pronounced it?
Yeah, Demar from Logan Square.
Demar, all right, I'm sorry. They're talking about Jared Allen and the big payroll he has and what they can do with him. I thought that was a great question. I think that is going to be a big question heading into this next season.
Good stuff. So DeMar from Logan Square wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority. Hey, Jay, thank you so much for spending a little bit more than half an hour with us here on the show.
It was great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jay.
Jay Hilgenberg, Tom's former teammate on the 85 Bears. And coming up next time, we will be joined by former Bears defensive tackle Anthony Adams. He's a TV star now. We call him Spice. He'll break it down. He's back in the country after... Well, we'll let him explain next, right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside the champion, the 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Pleased to be joined this segment on Bears All Access by the funny man, the very talented former defensive tackle for the Bears and the San Francisco 49ers, a man who has just returned back to the United States of America. We present Anthony Adams. Hey, Spice.
Hey, how you doing? How y'all doing?
Double A doing well. Everything good with you?
Yes, sir. I can't complain.
Good. Hey, Double A, I got to ask you a football question before we get into your social comedy life. We just had Jay Hilgenberg on center, and we were talking about the Bears developing defense. And now we're talking defensive player, and probably the most important position they're talking about in the development of the new defense is the nose guard. Is that the key to this defense? And I know you played the position, but is that really the key to getting this defense of this new regime started?
Without a question. You got to have a big hog in there who knows what he's doing, who can keep those linebackers clean, because if not, then teams are just going to run it right up the middle. So if you don't have a nucleus, like a guy that's going to, force a double team almost every play, then teams are going to average 100 yards rushing on us.
How much time did you spend thinking about possibly leaving television and going to this veteran combine that was held yesterday?
probably 0%. Nothing more. I think I played a little basketball and got a little winded early, and that further let me know that I can't do the veteran combine.
Anthony, are you surprised at the veteran combine? And if you had to make a change in midterm of your career, were you ready for the 40? Were you ready for the 225? Would you be willing to go out there and do a series of cone drills just to display your talents and your desire to play? Or do you think that your body of work on tape should tell the story of what you can or cannot do on a field?
You know what's funny? I saw that Nate Collins was doing it, and it's a shame that guys like that have to do the veteran combine. I mean, you got he's a good player, he's young, and you still take him through this 225 and 40-yard dash, and everybody's like, oh, this guy's quick and all this, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He's been that. I mean, the guy is probably, 27? Still got skills, but you still got to go to the veteran combine to prove that, you know, you can still play. And he's been out of the league for a year now, and so you have to do stuff like that. Like, that's baffling to me. And to me, being a 9-year vet, if I had to go in somewhere, I'm going to lose every time. I'm 32 years old. You want me to go up against a 24-year-old because you're not just going to have me in there. You're going to have me and, you know, three other defenders in there competing for one spot. And you expect me to go in there and do a 225 test and a 40-yard dash and all of this stuff. And then if I'm a 10-year vet, then, you know, everything is stacked. Like, you know, if you're an 8-year vet, you got to make $800,000, 9-year, $900,000, 10-year, $1 million. So you got to pay me $1 million, but you got a 24-year-old that you can only pay like $240,000 or $300,000. He's going to win every time, no matter what his numbers are.
Yeah, the business of football never leaves. So no matter how well you do out there on the grass, if a player that is younger than you can do the same thing, man, it's tough to make it in the league as a veteran player. We're talking with Anthony Adams, the former Bears defensive tackle, who is also the co-host of Inside the Bears with Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airing every Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, or you can go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. You are back from a trip with Bears fans to Costa Rica. What was that like?
It was cool, man. It was cool. Kyle Fuller was there, Pat O'Donnell, David Bass, Kasim Green, and Willie Young. And, you know, of course, Willie went fishing. And, you know, I got a chance to talk with everybody and see what their personality is like. And, you know, just talking with Kyle Fuller, you know, just – It amazes me, like, how mature he is and how much of a sponge he is. He just asked me some heavy-hitting questions, man, that, you know, I didn't think that a guy who was a rookie last year would be asked.
Like what?
And, what did you do to take care of your body during the season? And I'm a fat guy, so, I mean, he's asking a fat guy this type of stuff. So, you know, and I was telling him about Peppers, just, like, how much – like, Pep would, if we had practice at 4, Pep would show up at, like, 3:30. Like, I got to be there at, like, 2, 1:30. I got to get in the hot tub, cold tub. I'm doing yoga stretching, like, all of this stuff. And Pep would show up at 3:30 and just put on his pants and pads and shoes and just go out and practice. Like, I had to tape my wrists. I had to tape my ankles. I had to tape my toes. Like, he doesn't wear any tape or anything like that. And I wasn't telling him to do what Peppers was doing, but I was just telling him what I had to do. And, he was receptive to it, and you can tell he's like a sponge, man, which is good to see.
Hey, AA, when you get, say you get Brian Urlacher, you get Patrick Manley in a studio, or else you get this list of guys that you get him in Costa Rica, has Pat and Brian relaxed enough that where you see that edge is gone from them? And the guys that you see in the off season at this point, is it really an opportunity for the fans to get to know these players at probably the only relaxed time of their year? So is it Pat and Brian, or is it the young guys in the off season that are most relaxed?
Pat and Brian, for sure. I mean, you know, you don't have that pressure on you to perform. You know what I mean? So
right.
You can just kick back and just, you know, be at ease and answer questions and sign autographs and sign babies and sing songs and all of that good stuff.
So apparently you are punting with Pat O'Donnell, you are fishing with Willie Young, and hanging out with Lindsay Petrucci doing weird stuff. I saw some video of you doing some weird stuff with all the different players. What's the thing you are most looking forward to seeing yourself doing on TV?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I get dared to do a lot of stuff. Like, I just did an episode of rock climbing, and I showed up with this NASA spacesuit on. So I get dared to do a lot of things. I didn't go fishing with Willie. I didn't want to get seasick and then that, because it'd be just my luck that I would get seasick. Stuff like that only happens to me. But
yeah,
Lindsay went with them, and I think she caught a couple fish.
I would have thought if there was a chance to get some food that you would have been on the trip. I guess not. I was mistaken. But you can catch Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci on Inside the Bears every Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago. Or you can go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. AA, thank you so much. When we come back, Tom and I will wrap things up. Another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman as we roll on here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We just visited with former Bears defensive tackle Anthony Adams, the co-host of Inside the Bears, that unique TV show with Lindsay Petrucci that you can hear every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago. What's interesting is he talked about spending time with Kyle Fuller on the Bears fan trip down to Costa Rica this offseason. And Tom, I'm impressed. I liked what I heard from AA in regards to Kyle Fuller wanting to ask the questions and learn from the veteran players as to how to get better as a player going forward in his NFL career.
Yeah, you know, Kyle is going to be so important to this football, to the entire defensive unit. I don't care if he's a second-year player. He's going to have to act like one of the leaders and the captains over there. And every time I've had a chance to work with Kyle Fuller, he's always been that question-asking player. And he's got older brothers and younger brothers that are involved in the game, but he does want to absorb information and know how to be a more well-prepared player. Because I think when you look at Kyle Fuller, his confidence has to spill over to Jonathan Bostic and Christian Jones and Ego Ferguson, Will Sutton, Shea McCall, and all these guys. And it's not going to, you're not going to be out there looking for a double-digit year veteran who's got a ton of experience with the Chicago Bears playing 34. You're going to look to the leaders of this football team that are going to how best get these players prepared, whether you're the farthest player back in the defensive backfield or up in the line of scrimmage. And so I like hearing from AA about, you know, Kyle Fuller asking him questions throughout the trip that, you know, is going to make him a better team player, a better teammate, and better for the Bears organization.
And Kyle came from a program at Virginia Tech, which is known as Defensive Back University. There are a whole bunch of them, including Cam Chancellor, who's one of the big famous names on the Seattle Seahawks defense. You know, guys that went to Virginia Tech that have set a standard over the years, and Kyle is the latest in a long-running line of terrific defensive backs to have played for the Hokies. Does that matter if you're a scout, if you're a team? Do you look at programs that have put together solid players at certain positions over the years? Does it matter to you?
I need defensive backs and cornerbacks that are willing to tackle and be physical, because when you change to a 34 defense, you're going to add some complexities to the rules and the design of the defensive backfield. You're going to see more blitzes. You're going to see more opportunities for exposure to get into the backfield. And so that's got to be a part of it. You have to have the willingness to come up to the line of scrimmage and, take on a fullback or tackle or try to sack a quarterback or get into the most difficult of coverage positions. So I think as much as Kyle has learned in professional football up until this point, he'll probably learn twice as much over the next couple of years working with Coach Fangio and Ed Donatell over there.
And just being physical enough at the line of scrimmage to reroute receivers and ruin the timing routes, because that's what makes the 3-4 so effective.
Well, again, you know, you look inside your division when you talk about Calvin Johnson, you're talking about the biggest and the best. And, you know, Kyle Fuller, fortunately for his career, he's going to have a great opportunity to play against him a couple times.
Good stuff, Tom. We'll talk again next week.
Bye, Zach.
Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. For Tom Thayer, an our executive producer, Patch, back at Hallis Hall, Herb Lawrence and Joe Ostrowski on the other side of the partition, Anthony Adams and Jay Hilgenberg. I'm Zach Sabin saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at ChicagoBears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.